Hello everyone and welcome to this podcast, Pamucha on the Wings of Hope. Pamucha is a Swahili word which means together. And here we say, hope is our greatest currency and we would allow no one steal it from us. This weekly podcast is brought to you by your host, Abraham Mateta, also known as Nikoma A. Enjoy.
Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of Pamoja on the Wings of Hope. As usual, I'm yours, Abraham Mateta. Now, many Christians are celebrating a holy day to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even for those Christians who do not observe this holy day, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ remain the center of the Christian faith. Today, we want to find out where is the hope for persons with disabilities in church.
When I finished school, there was an evangelist from a certain church that which I cannot mention. He said, brother, you need to be born again. And I said, I'm already a pastor. Said, no. The moment you receive Christ as your best Lord, Savior, you'll receive your son.
We will hear from Reverend Green how it is to be a minister of the gospel when one is blind. The Methodist Church in Zimbabwe has a plan and a thinking about persons with disabilities.
It has been realized that where cases of abuse are taking place, the people who are more affected are people with the disabilities.
Reverend Paraza will be sharing with us some of that. We will also hear a word of encouragement from the Republic of Kenya. We will, however, begin with going to church. I'm taking you way back in time. In 2017, I had the opportunity to be one of the presenters at the Highlands Seventh-day Adventist Church in Harare, where I was talking about the need for inclusion in the church.
Amen, church. Amen. Over my family,
my family,
Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. Speak to your people through me. Thank you for giving them the wisdom to know the power of diversity and inclusion. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. I am a lawyer by training.
Amen.
And a disability rights activist by calling.
Amen.
I think one of the first issues that people need to know is that God, in his infinite wisdom, has provisioned for persons with disabilities. Can someone with the Bible read for me Exodus 4, verses 11?
Exodus chapter 4,
verse 11.
Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him,
yes,
who hath made man's mouth?
Yeah.
Or who maketh the dumb?
Yeah.
Or deaf?
Yeah.
Or the seeing? Yeah. Or the blind?
Yes.
Have not I the Lord?
And what does the church say?
Amen.
Isaiah 48, verse 16.
Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord and his Spirit hath said, hath sent me.
Okay. Isaiah 42, verse 16. Yeah.
And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not.
Yeah.
I will lead them in paths that they have not known.
Yeah.
I will make darkness light before them.
Yes.
And crooked things straight.
Yeah.
These things will I do unto them and not forsake them.
May the Lord bless the reading of this word.
Amen.
You see, we do have a challenge. And I am glad that the Spirit of the Lord has helped the Highlands Church in particular to understand that it is the desire of the Lord that all people of various types worship together.
Mm.
Now, the verses that we have read, the second one, shows us that when the Lord does things, he doesn't do some of these things in secret. But sometimes we tend to complicate things. We've allowed theologians and other people to complicate things for us, right? But I like Exodus. The passage is on Moses complaining to God about being a stammerer and, you know, slow of speech. In disability, we call that speech impairment. So Moses was raising an excuse of speech impairment. Now, I have heard a lot of preachers saying, but how could Moses say that to God and so forth and so on? You know, leadership in most instances is linked to eloquence. So people look for someone who is a brilliant speaker, okay? The Barack Obamas, the Robert Mugabe's, the whatever, you name them, right? And then they say, yes, this is a leader that we can listen to. And that is why you find the world can actually get misled when an eloquent person is an Adolf Hitler, right? What am I saying? The first lesson that you should get is sometimes the Lord can send a very good message to you through a very bad speaker. And you should be prepared to get the message. Right? Secondly, so when Moses raises this complaint of not being able to speak well, watch what the Lord says. The Lord mentions a number of people, a number of, groups of people with disabilities. And then he says, who has made all this? And he says, isn't it I, the Lord? And now, hear where I like most. Do you, like me, believe in a God of impossibilities? Do you believe that our God can do anything with anyone at any time, anyhow? And look at what God says. Instead of saying to Moses, right, Moses, you have complained about this, I'm not going to reverse your condition. God doesn't say that. And this is what I want you to really get. God then asks another question. And he says, isn't Aaron your brother? And this is the question that the church is battling with. And answering very wrong. You see, as you look at, I don't know which name to call myself now, because this one says Advocate Mateta, but I thought we do that at work, not here. My name is Mkoma A. Okay, so you see Mkoma A here coming to church. Instead of thinking of feeling pity for Mkoma A, when you begin to answer the question, isn't Mkoma A your brother? You begin to say to yourself, so if Mkoma A wants to sing for my family, how will he do it when our invoke is inaccessible to him? So when you start asking those questions, you are now answering in the affirmative, isn't Aaron your brother? So what God was saying to Moses was, if Aaron is your brother, hear the trick now. You shall be like a god unto Aaron, and Aaron will be your prophet. Now, this sounds very complicated, but don't worry. I'm here to simplify it for you today. I do read what is called Braille, right? And then, if I write in Braille and give it to Elder, he won't be able to read it. Uh-huh. So to him, I will be like a god. But let us suppose our sister, the psychologist who was teaching on stigmatization, is trained to read Braille. He can then transcribe that into print, and he becomes my prophet to you. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay? But how do we make that work for the church? We are the salt of the world, right? And it is through us that the world must be saved. And so, we should be the first in church to understand persons with disabilities so that we can explain to the world the value. You see? So, to the world, a person with a disability becomes like a god because they don't understand us. And the church must come in Amen. Between to Amen. Explain.
Amen.
You understand? Okay. And now Isaiah 42 verse 16 says, I will lead the blind in the ways they knew not. I will make darkness into light for them, and I will make their paths, the crooked paths, straight. These things I will do. Now you know that Jeremiah tells us that the Lord watches over his word to perform it. Now, one thing that I believe is God will never forsake his word. To say it in my first language is Giramari Chingera Tower, Rakafanana Neshisha, Raburu Kamuti, Aritozo Kiev. So, I have a crisis with theologians. That is why Nakumbira Isaiah 48, verse 16. Theologians tell us, you know, this verse, Isaiah 42, verse 16, is a verse that is talking about spiritual. But they forget to tell us one thing. God is as much a God of the spiritual as he is the God of the physical. So God will not do something that is spiritual without fulfilling it in the physical. You see? I mean, I can read, I can work, I can type even when electricity is gone in darkness. I actually use my phone on a dark screen. So, can you say that in my life Isaiah 42:16 is physically fulfilled? So, you see, we
we change to over spiritualize things until we fail to understand the marvelous work of God. So, well, you know, I just want to conclude because because I am also mindful of time here. Where I work, we are paid according to time. But I certainly know that there are people who wanted to hear more. God will grant you that opportunity through whichever means. Trust me, I know He is faithful. I also want to just leave the church with this knowledge. I think this is also very important. You have heard of this term disability, right? Persons with disabilities. I want to make it clear to you what this means. Disability is not what is in someone physically. Now, let me explain this. I know that I might even be beaten up by psychologists and other social scientists if I don't get that right. Because there is always a war between us as activists and these social scientists. There is what is called impairment, right? When you are talking about impairment, when you say Mkoma A is blind, you are referring to impairment. When you say Sister Gan is a person with albinism, you are talking about impairment, right? That is what you can physically see or what is there, right? But when you talk about disability, right, let me illustrate. Let us assume I come to the Sabbath school and you are giving people quarterlies and you give me a printed quarterly. From that moment you give me a printed quarterly, I become disabled. And then the question becomes, what is wrong? Is it me or your quarterly? So the point that we are making is, if we want to make life easier or better for people with disabilities, let us work to correct the environment rather than correcting the person. Right? So this is one thing which the church must understand. You know, the Bible actually says, cursed is he who will mislead the blind. And it says, what does the congregation say? The congregation should say amen, right? Which means, you know, God is actually thinking of an environment in which everyone can flourish, right? So, I obviously finish with the song. I am so musical.
You know? Amen.
So, I will take a chorus this time. Chino dambure nika,
chino dambure nika, nika, nesho kora. Chino dambure nika,
in South Africa.
You are tuned into Pamoja on the Wings of Hope with Makoma A.
My name is Reverend Chaimo Green, born 4 November 1984.
Reverend Green is a minister at the Pentecostal Assemblies of Zimbabwe. At the age of 3, he suffered from measles and lost his sight.
When I was in Form 3, the call of God was heavily impacting in my heart to the extent that I wanted to drop school. I went to the chaplain and he actually advised me that I must go on with the education because that education was so important even in my ministry.
Reverend Green was able to complete his high school and went to the Pan-African Christian College where he studied theology and got a bachelor's degree. It was not easy to follow the path of being a minister starting from college where the reading material was very scarce.
To the extent that I actually dropped one important subject, Greek. You know, when you want to specialize in New Testament, you must do Greek so that you understand some of the texts. I did Greek after I completed my studies.
Even after college, the journey remained arduous.
It was difficult to find a place to minister to. You really need to prove yourself. You know, there was a great challenge. In most cases, in Pentecostal churches, you being blind, you can be a threat to the message that they preach, the message of healing. They don't even say, if we enroll or if we take you as a pastor, pastors, we are supposed to preach about healing. They would even wonder to say, he is preaching about healing, yet he is still blind.
The problem of the church failing to accept him as he is manifested itself in various ways.
In some congregational meetings, when I used to do my devotion, people would just come in laying their hands on me and started to cast some demons. I even remembered when I finished the school, there was an evangelist from a certain church that which I cannot mention. He said, brother, you need to be born again. And I said, I'm already a pastor. Said, no. The moment you receive Christ as your personal savior, you receive your sight.
In his work, Reverend Green has a proven record of success and planting a number of churches.
I thank God. God has been faithful in my ministry. I derive my strength from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 9.
He goes at length to explain this verse, offering scholarly views that at some point I thought I was back to my high school divinity class.
From that portion of scripture, we read that Paul had a weakness or a thorn in his flesh. He even begged God, he even prayed 3 times, and the thorn was not removed. So he was worried, why is it that the Lord is not removing the thorn? One of the scholars views that, referring to the thorn, he was being haunted with the life that he used to live before he was converted. But the second view is that he had a sickness or an ailment. Another view was that he had a challenge with his sight. So the bottom line is that he had a challenge, he had an impairment of some sort. So he begged God, he prayed 3 times. But what is so interesting is the response that the Lord gave to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. It encourages me that I can minister the word of the Lord as I am. Isn't it the Bible that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? You know what? God doesn't want us to boast, but he can use our weaknesses even to do wonders, and he can even perfect them.
Is that the motivation comes from an old prayer which I remember we used to recite at primary school, although I didn't know who it was attributed to until today.
I always recite the prayer of St. Augustine. Lord, give me serenity to change things that I can't change and accept those things that I can't change. Every morning I wake up, I recite this prayer. To date, I'm all over preaching the word of the Lord. in urban areas and in rural areas. I'm all over. I thank God. I'm excited to be his servant. I don't say the ministry is a bed of roses, but I can just say his grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me.
He also does not allow his sight loss to be a barrier to his work as a minister of the gospel.
I don't say, let me receive the sight, let me receive sight first. No, I must minister through the grace, because of God.
Sweet life. Some say life is not a bed of roses. Granted, but it's also not a thicket of thorns and thistles. Others say life is what you make it. But here, we say life is sweeter when it is what we together make it. Sweet life.
My name is Reverend Jerry Parada of the Methodist Church in Zimbabwe. I am the safeguarding and gender officer of the church.
Reverend Parada works at the Connectional Office under the Methodist Development and Relief Agency. Her roles include ensuring gender equality, the promotion of safe spaces in church for the protection of people from abuse, as well as inclusivity. Reverend Parada makes it clear what the church means by gender.
Many times when people hear about the word gender, they think that we are talking about issues of women only, but this is not true. When we are talking about gender, we will be talking about issues relating to men, women, boys and girls.
Naturally, issues of disability fall under her office, and this is the view that the church has.
It has been realized that where cases of abuse are taking place, the people who are more affected are people with the disabilities. So it is also my role to make sure that men, women, boys and girls with disabilities are safe, and issues that threaten their safety are addressed, and also they are aware of the procedure to report cases of abuse, if any. As the Methodist Church in Zimbabwe, we have our toll-free number 0808-0551, and this is the number that we always say we, as members of the Methodist Church and community at large, we can use to report any form of abuse, any threat to safety, any threat to life.
Reverend Parada believes that there can only be development if all people, regardless of their status, work together as members of the body of Christ, and encourages persons with disabilities to be part of the system.
As 1 Corinthians chapter 12 could illustrate it, it is very clear that each body part is important for the body to work as a whole, to work efficiently and to perform its duties. If you look very closely to the words of Paul, you realize that Paul is emphatically indicating that since we are a body of Christ, we should learn to respect each other and learn to realize that each body part is equally important and no body part is greater than the other. As the Church of Corinth has been trapped in the same temptation, we as Christians of today, we are equally trapped in the same temptation of marginalizing other people and over-respecting other people. This therefore means that the place is there and is given by Christ himself, regardless of status, regardless of even the existence or the presence of disability in your body as a person, which means that it goes beyond looking to the physical status of a person and points out to valuing the person as a human being who has been created in the image of God. And as a human being who has the Spirit of God breathed and bestowed upon him or her.
She also argues that the church must have accessibility so that all people are able to come and worship the Lord.
It is our role as a church to make sure that our doors are open and our policies are open, our practices are open, and our buildings are accessible for everyone to be able to worship, to present himself or herself before the Lord, the creator of everyone and everything.
Finally, Reverend Paradza encourages us to remember this holiday and think about Jesus as our hope.
Having been a person with disability, you might find yourself in despair, marginalized, hopeless, and seeing no reason to survive. But as we approach Easter, may I say that Easter time is a time for the revival of our spirit, the revival of our hope in Christ, our hope not only for salvation, which is given, but our hope for survival despite and in spite of any circumstances and experiences. As Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 31 going down, he says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which means that the love of God is so strong and cannot be overtaken by any circumstance, cannot be overtaken by any comment, cannot be overtaken by any history, and cannot be overtaken by any attitude. But that if we think and meditate upon the love of God as has been demonstrated on the cross, we need to feel revived, energized, and thankful that we are alive, and say to our spirit and soul, because our God lives, therefore we shall live. Because Christ has overtaken and conquered the cross, therefore we are more than conquerors. May we be blessed, may we be revived.
Praise God, wonderful people. My name is Duncan Lanyamila, an environmentalist, a community developer, and a network engineer. I am passionate about the environment, the youth, and children as the upcoming generation. In addition to this, I am visually impaired. I lost my eyesight 9 years ago in the year 2014 as a result of meningitis. Coincidentally, this happened in the month of April, and we are in the month of April right now. So it's exactly 9 years ago. It happened while I was in fourth year in campus, when I was just about to go sit for my final exams. Things were tough. I wasn't able to sit for the exams because I ended up being hospitalized, ended up in ICU for 16 days. And to know that God's grace works in mysterious ways, He got me out of ICU on a Good Friday. Indeed, Christ died so that I could live. Good Friday in the year 2014, in the month of April, was on the 18th. So I did get out of ICU on 18th April. The journey for rehabilitation, physiotherapy started. It was tough. I wasn't able to walk by myself, but I did start the baby steps and eventually ended up walking by myself. Joined school, Machakos Technical Institute for the Blind, where I did take my rehabilitation course, computer and braille. After that, I went back to campus to complete my degree program and graduated in the year 2019. Indeed, God is faithful. All this happened because of God's grace and His mercy upon my life. If it were not for Him, I wouldn't be here standing to testify, to testify of His might. For if it were not for Him, how would it be there? Him getting me out of that ICU room alive, even though having lost my eyesight, it's testimony enough that He is great, having given me another chance to live. I'd like to urge parents out there who have children who are disabled not to put them in their houses. Expose your children out there so that they may live life to the fullest. Through many programs that have come up, inclusivity programs, where we want to involve more persons with disabilities in different activities, many talents may come out of these children and it will be a blessing unto them. So to anyone who is facing a disability, just like me, I want to urge you not to lose hope. Hope is all that drives us. Hope is all that we need, that we know that there's a God who fearfully and wonderfully made us, and He has a reason for everything. Never lose hope. All will be well. Amen. Blessed.
Thank you very much, my brother from Kenya, for such a wonderful sharing and wonderful testimony. Indeed, all of us have a reason to thank God for. That does it for this episode, and thank you very much for listening. I want to let you know that this podcast is now available on all major podcast sites, including Apple Podcast, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and other major podcast sites. You just go and search for Pamoja on the Wings of Hope. I also love to hear your feedback, so please don't hesitate to get in touch with me. You can email abmateta@abmateta.com, or you can use our WhatsApp platform +263 772 485516, or you can find me on Facebook, Abraham Mateta, or on Twitter @AbrahamMateta. Until next week, may the Lord richly bless you.